So we're going to talk about over here, we've been talking about a type of closet, and the closet was too big to be Mekabel Tumah, and because of that, it basically functioned as an oil, not as a kli. But we have similar situations where we need to worry about a kli and not, which is very, very different. So now let's imagine a situation like this. You've got a kli, which is a tanur, back again to our tanurim from Kalim. In this case, it's got this vent hole, and the vent hole has got like a vent attached to it, and it goes through the wall, and it vents to the outside of the house, very common. And now the thing is that Hilu Alav Kovrei Amet. So there were people on their way to a funeral, and they basically, they carry over that area, they carry the mita of the mate, and they actually, because of that, the tuma would go straight down and would hit the pipe. So then, what's the din? So Beit Shammai Omrim, the whole house becomes tummy. Why? Because the tuma of the mace gets into the kli, and because of that, it's metame, the area of the avir of the vent, and it goes through the vent into the tanur, irregardless of whether it's a tefach al tefach, because it's all one kli, and the toch of a tanur is, remember, considered to be the important area. So the toch of the tanur extends into its vent pipe, and therefore the whole thing is tameh. And now it, the opening at the top of the tanur is going to allow the tumas armeis to get into the house through the actual top. So this is talking about, again, even if it's less than a tefach by tefach, because we're talking about a kli. We don't have to find an area where it actually is able to sneak in through a vent pipe. And over here, in this case, it's only going to be metame, because it's all going to be a tame kli. So tiny is Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel says, I don't understand how that works. The kli is tame, yes, because the kli was exposed to the tumah, but how does it get out of the oven into the rest of the house? I mean, it was less than a tefach al tefach. Since it's less than a tefach al tefach, it's not that the tumah itself came from the mace into this area. It's that, it was metame, a kli. So how in the world does a kli, which was mekabel tumah from a mace, how does a kli that's mekabel tumah from the mace spread the tumah throughout the house? Doesn't make sense to me. Beit Shammai is looking at it in the same way that he would look as the tumah that is actually going through the pipe and coming out through the top of the tanur. In order to do that, you would need a vent. And a vent is defined, agape, the din of tumas hames, as one by one tefach. Over here, you're talking about a tanur. When you didn't define it as a big tanur that's got a vent of a tefach al tefach, I don't even understand how he's talking about this. Rabbi Akiva says, I don't understand how anybody's talking about anything. How in the world did the tumas hames get into the oven? Even the oven is tahor. You can't get tumah into a kli through a vent, unless it's a vent legabi tumah. It would have to be a tefach ala tefach. It's only where, if the kli itself was in the oil of the mace, so then, yes, then there's a halacha that anything in the oil is considered to be tome. That's true. But if you take a kli, you can't get into the kli. There's no difference between a kli cheres and any other kli. The tumah can be metame, but that doesn't mean it gets into it. So there's a tremendous difference. So over here, the halacha is that nothing at all without a tefach al tefach is going to be able to be mitame this kli. And therefore, even the oven itself is tahar, because it's not going to be mekabel tumah from its outside. It's a kli cheres. So how did it become tame at all? Some taina that this is inarguable, and that basically Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel are not really talking midiraisa. They're talking about how easy it is for people to confuse this with the type of kli that would be mekabel tumah because the mace went over it, or because maybe some vents do have a tefach al tefach. So some tiny, that must be more of a gezeira in terms of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, because otherwise, I mean, what's really the answer? Something passes over the outside of a kli cheres. It's the same as negiah, so It's not in an Ola Mesa. Remember, we had this distinction earlier. The difference between ma'ahil and between being in an ohel with. Remember when we were talking about being mitzarev, different amounts, and we said that being ma'ahil is the equivalent of nogea, masha'inkin, being in the area of the tumah is a completely different concept, which is a spatial concept, not a nagia concept, would not be mitzarev with nagia or masa and so on. This is part of that same understanding. Therefore, it's an extremely confusing Mishnah, according to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. All right? Now, let's talk about the din is legabe being a chatzitza in front of tumah. That's a different thing, because the question of whether you could stop tumah from getting in is different than whether you are mekabel tumah yourself. So let's talk about a case where a kli has broken. Therefore, it's not going to be mekabel tumah itself. Can it actually block a vent from tumah? So let's imagine a case where we have an aruba shebein habayit aliyah. So we've got this vent between a lower floor and an upper floor, and there's a mace on the lower floor. So now you took a pot. This is a pot of a kli cheres. It's not mekabel tumah from its outside, and you put a kedera on top of it. Okay, so now you've got your pot on top of the hole. The problem is that the pot has a crack, and the crack is big enough to allow kinus mashka. And remember that the din is that once kinus mashka means that not only will liquid leak out of the pot, but if you put the pot on liquid, liquid will seep into the pot. So then the halacha is that if the purpose of the pot is for liquid use, if it's for solid use, so we have our different shiurim of zayit, and if you're miyachidit, even for motzei rimon and so on. But if it's meant for use with liquids, so then the halacha is that now it's considered to be broken. And if it's broken, if it wasn't broken, there would be nothing to discuss, because then I can block tuma since I am an extension of the ceiling that's going to block the tuma from the next story. But if it can be mekabel tumah, I wouldn't be able to do that. Let's say it was a metal pot. So now the question is, the pot has a big hole in it. So the question is, does a broken pot, is that considered to be part of the actual construct ceiling? Because if it isn't, you can't just block tumah by putting junk in the way. Junk is not considered to be a blockage for tumah the way a real ohel would be. But you could certainly fill a hole maybe with junk where you have a real ceiling between them. So what's the din? The din is that Beit Shammai says it doesn't do any good, because the tumah from downstairs, it gets into the pot. Basically, there's a hole in it, and that itself allows the tumah to go through, and it can't become a chatzitza from the tumah. So how could that be? It's not shach to be mekabel tumah, because it really has a hole in it. Because basically, since it's shayach to use this pot for pomegranates, so that's considered to be good enough to be mekabel tumah, like we saw back in Kalim. But since it's a big enough hole, this is Beit Shammai Shita, since it's a big enough hole that it can't be mekabel tumah as a kli that's miyuchad for mashka, so that is considered to be a hole that allows tumah to go through it. That's Beit Shammai's approach, according to the Mefarshim. It's a very strange, strange kind of approach, but this is the way the Rav learns, and this is the way the Rosh learns, so fine. Beis Hillel says, the kedera could become tamei min rabbanan, but the aliyah remains tar. Because since miniraisa, there's no way for tumah to get into a pot through a hole. So if it can't get into the pot, so then it's an extension of the ceiling. And it's only the rabbanan who were gezer, that it's not a big enough hole, but because of that, the rabbanan were gezer anyway, that it's tamei. But the aliyah is tar. Rabbi Akiva says there's no such gezerah. The halacha is you cannot get tumah into a pot through a hole. This is similar to the first Mishnah as well. And there's no such thing as the gezeirah derabbanan that we should view a hole in that way. And therefore, either a kli is mekabel tumah or is not mekabel tumah. I taina, the pot itself, is also tahar. Okay, now the question is, what about a pot that isn't broken and doesn't have a hole in it? So the simple halacha all over that we saw is something that is chotzetz, is that is not mekabel tuma, and in this case, it's not mekabel tuma from the outside because it's a kli cheres, so is able to be chotzetz bifnei hatuma. Now the question over here is what, and we discussed this earlier in terms of one of the gezeiros in kelim, is what's the din of the kelim of an ama aretz? So since we consider the kelim of an ama aretz to be tamei, and he considers them to be tahar. That was the reason that we made a gezeira that we don't rely on summit pasil, if you recall, when it comes to a klicheres saving a pot that is made out of metal inside of it, because we want the chaver to realize that when the Ama Aretz says that it's tahar, he's assuming it's tahar because his klicheres that was blocking, let's say, exactly this case, an upper story. But the chaver would have considered that klicheres to be tame because it belonged to an Ama Aretz. So because of that, it would mean that really the second story was tame, according to the chaver. Remember that old gezera? It's like a brilliant gezera. So now the question is, what, in fact, would be the din legabe the actual kli? So min rabbonu, we're going to be metame then. And the question is, can they be a chatzitza bifnei atuma in terms of d'oraisa? Okay, so I touched lema. So now it wasn't broken. The problem is that it was the kelim of an ama aretz. So Beis Hillel says, look, if it's a whole kli, then it's actually matzil the entire aliyah. Beit Shammai says no, and this is one of those beautiful interactions between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel we've spoken about before. Beit Shammai says no, it does work partially in being able to be matzil. So that if there's foods, yes. If there's drinks, yes. If there's other kli cheres, yes. But it will not work on the kelim that are made out of metal. Because since the kli of the amaretz is considered to be tamei, midrabanan, so it can't block tuma. So then, of course, this is where Beit Hillel said to Beit Shammai, that is absolutely embarrassing. It's a beautiful lashon in the Gemara Chagiga. Oy vey, you're embarrassing us by saying stupid things. I mean, how can something be a chatzitza for one thing and not a chatzitza for another thing? I mean, this is ridiculous. And as Beit Shammai explained, that piece is missing from the Mishnah. But as Beit Shammai explained, the reason for this is because when it comes to the dinim, that it is matzil, ochlin, mashkin, klicheres, who cares about that halacha? Not the chaver, because the chaver can't take ochlin, mashkin, or klicheres from namaretz anyway. He could borrow a metal kli, because he could always put it into the mikveh, and he will before using it. But he can't take food from them. So who are you telling, says Beit Shammai, who are you telling that, no, you can't use that food? And the amaretz says, why exactly can't I use the food if I had a klicheres? I mean, you know, I may be stupid, but I mean, every idiot knows that a klicheres is a mekabel tuma from its outside. So you're going to tell the Ama Aretz, yeah, but a klicheres that's tamei can't be matzah. So my klicheres is very tahar. Well, we consider your klicheres to be tamei. Really, says he to you. And I consider your klicheres to be tamei. So take that and stuff it in your pipe. So what are you making halacha, says Beit Shammai to Beit Hillel, which is an absurdity. It makes no difference whatsoever to anybody who's going to keep the halacha. And to the people that you're telling it to, they're going to say you're insane. And they're going to just go out of their way to do exactly the opposite. That's not called a halacha. That's called being stupid. So in the end, chazru Beit Hillel harot kedivrei Beit Shammai. That was that beautiful Gemara where the guy says, oh my God. If the dumb things are so smart, imagine how smart the pretty smart things look like. We better start thinking again about Beit Shammai. Okay, so that's basically the way that the Mishnah ends off, leaving out the fun part. Okay, so then it turns out that legabe the Ama Aretz, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel hold, that the din is over there, the food, the mashkin, other klicheres, those are considered to be tahar, and they're nitzal, but anything that could be put into the mikveh is not nitzal. So let's imagine a certain situation to see how that halacha works out. So let's say you've got something that's made out of wood, or you've got something that's made out of metal, and it's full of wine. That's tar. So it's only mashkin taurin. So then listen to this crazy halacha. And this is what Beitel really goes to town on. Okay. So then that would mean that the metal pitcher actually becomes tame for 7 days, and it needs to have the parat duma sprinkled on it, right? But the wine inside is tar. And that's insane. How you can't have a halakha like that, Dinas Beit Hillel. Of course, this is one of the implications of that very halakha. So the mashkin remained taurin because the mashkin was considered to be in a area that is tar. But imagine like this. You take that pitcher, you lift it up, and now you pour it into another pitcher that's made out of the same material. So then it becomes tame, because now it becomes, obviously it was in the aliyah. So now it becomes tame, because it touched something that we've agreed is tame, and that we told everybody it's tame, because that was nogeh the chaverim. So in other words, what this means is that we did not gozer tuma, even on mashkin, where the kelim that they were in were going to be mekabel tuma. But once it's not part of that original tuma, so then we treat it like anything else. And we'll have a crazy situation like this. Take another crazy situation. It would be the same type of weird kind of halacha. Here's a woman who's sitting around, and she's making bread. So she's kneading dough, and she's in this second story. And there she is making her dough in an areva that was made out of a davar mekabel tuma. It's usually made out of wood, actually, an areva, or it's made out of metal. And then somebody dies in the lower story, in a case where there was a kli cheres that was between the two stories. So the din is that the woman herself, the areva that she's mixing the dough in, are all tameh for shivas yomim, because the kli cheres was not going to be a chatzitza b'fnei atuma between the lower story and the upper story. But the dough is tahar. Oh my gosh. But the moment that you took the dough and you put it into one of her other containers, then it becomes tummy. So basically, the truth is that there's an issue over here that is added, because you wonder, it sounds like the same thing. It's not the same thing. The reason it's not the same thing is because the woman continued to work on the dough. And the halacha was that the woman became tameya, right? Because that was an issue that was nogeya everyone. So the woman did become tameya. So why do we say if she moves the dough from the original container into a new container, so then it's going to be mekabel tuma from the container. So why isn't it mekabel tuma from the woman as well? I mean, it should be exactly the same situation. So over here we have this tremendous chiddush that not only was the gezerah not made on an original container, it wasn't made on an original situation. That is an incredible chiddush. So it was the same woman who, if she would stop kneading this dough and would go over and touch another dough, she would be metameit. And if she stopped for this kneading and then comes back 10 minutes later and says, oh, I better do some more kneading, she would be metame, the same dough. But as long as she is in a continuous mode of kneading that dough, it's as if the dough is in the same situation that it was, and there was no gezera on Eichlin. A remarkable situation, very, very strange. And again, Beit Shammai thought this was nuts. And here too, Chazru Beit Hillel, Lohorot Kidivrei Beit Shammai, because of exactly the same question. Okay, continuing on with the same situation. So you've got a two-story house, and you've got this walkway through that is covered over with the kli cheres, and it belongs to an ama aretz. There's times, it turns out, that even the kelim of an ama aretz would be able to be a chatzitza bifnei hatuma, and that is obvious, where it's a type of kli that bechlal can't be mekabel tuma. So if bechlal can't be mekabel tuma, there's no basis to make a gezera. So let's say that we're talking about the kelim of an ama aretz that are made out of glalim, or avanim, or Adama, as we saw before, those type of kelim are not mekabel tuma at all. So then, of course, they are chaytzitz b'fnei ha'tuma, and there's no basis for making a gezerah. Because where you're talking about the fact that it might, his kli that is shayach to Kabbalah's tuma, it just won't be mekabel tuma from the outside by touching it over there. There's many other ways it could be mekabel tuma in the house of the Amaret. And therefore, we have to be gezer tuma. And once it's tameh, it doesn't block it, even from the outside. But on kli gelolim, avonim, or adama, there's never going to be a problem at all. So even if they belong to an Amaret, they are going to be chaytzitz b'fnei ha'tuma. Now, what about things that are malos in levels of tuma? And remember that we have gradations. When we talk about something that belongs to an Amaret, remarkably, if something belongs to the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world, but he's not exposed to kelim that are going to be used for kachim, let's say, so his kelim are considered to be the equivalent of the kelim of an Amma Aretz to a Talmud Chacham, to a Chofer. I shouldn't say Talmud Chacham, because a Chofer is basically someone who's mekabel to be Isaac in the Lefi the Dinim. Then it would be the same as a Amma Aretz to a Chofer. So in other words, let's say you're in a Kohen's house, and you have this problem of needing to be chaytzitz from downstairs to upstairs. And now you have kelim that are useful to you, and they're completely tar, but for the Kohen, they're not tar, because he needs to go into Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he's makbid on all of his things that are tar for Kodesh. What would be the din then? It's like the relative level of tuma also going to be metameit for the chaver. So let's imagine a case we have a kli that is tar l'kodesh, and it's tar even for chatas, which is the highest level. So because in that case, there's nothing to discuss. The highest level is chatas. We don't make any gezeiras that could be higher than that. So once a kli has been kept tar l'gabe, used for the par aduma, that's what chatas means, of course, par is chatas. It's good used for the par aduma, so then it's for sure going to be chotze. So then it's tar for everybody. Why? Because even an Am HaAretz is considered to be tohar vis-a-vis the kelim for the korban, for the usage of the paraduma. The reason is because the Gemara says that we were concerned that the Am HaAretz, if we don't allow him and his things to be utilized for, let's say, he brings a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, he's bringing a mincha, he's bringing shemen, he wants it to be used for korbanas. We're going to tell him, I'm sorry, we don't accept your things in your kelim to the Beis HaMikdash. So there too, says the Gemara, okay, what's his reaction going to be? Build his own Beis HaMikdash. The hell with your Beis HaMikdash. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you guys are part of a different religion. So he'll build a Beis HaMikdash for himself. The same thing is true of his paraduma. And because of that, we had to accept the same idea that they shouldn't go and be serif par aduma for themselves, make themselves a kohen gadol, and make themselves their own Beis HaMikdash. So because of that chashash, which actually occurred in different times with the Alexandria story and so on, because of that chashash, we dafka believe the Am HaAretz on the most chomer of things. So then also it would be the equivalent, amazingly, that the most chomer situation becomes the equivalent of the most kal situation, which is the kli aglolim and the kli adoma, which are not mekabel tuma at all. Now, the klal is, we finally get to the klal, which is always the way the Mishnah does things backwards. Mipnei sheha kelim tehorim. So basically, the rule is that kelim that are always tehorim, meaning that they're made out of kli aglolim or kli adoma, and klei cheres that are tahorim, and they're considered to be tahar because of the special dinim of paraduma or karbanais, they are going to be considered to be a chatzitza bifnei atuma when they are together with the difanot ha'ohalim. In other words, if they're by themselves and I'm trying to make a chatzitza of these things, they don't serve as a chatzitza. But where I have a real chatzitza, so I have the entire wall, or the floor of the upper story, and now all I'm trying to do is close an opening. I can close an opening with them. So im dafnot o'alim, and they become part of the building. And since they're not mekabel tuma, they're chatzitza b'fnei ha'tuma, even though they're not attached to the building. But if they're not part of an actual chatzitza, a kli per se cannot be a chatzitza, and that is where we're going to be getting into in tomorrow's Mishnah. What is the difference between just trying to use kalim as a chatzitza and using kalim as a sealant for a real oil that's a chatzitza?